Please turn with me to the Word of God in Isaiah 65. I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens, and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, and forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. Then ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name, that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Verse 20 is the sermon text this morning, Isaiah 65, verse 20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die an 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. This passage has often been misinterpreted and misunderstood, and I'm going to talk briefly about that this morning. But the main reason for looking at the Word of God here in Isaiah 65, verse 20, is that it affords unspeakable comfort to God's people who live all their life in what Psalm 23 calls the valley of the shadow of death. The comfort of this verse is the comfort of those words we sang from Psalter number 56. Though in death's veil and shadow be my way, I fear no ill. For thou art near, thy rod and staff my stay and comfort still. That's the main reason for looking at the Word of God here in Isaiah 65, verse 20. First, though, the misinterpretation of this passage. It's a favorite passage of those who are known as post-millennialists. Some of you are acquainted with that word. Some of you are probably not acquainted with it. But it's a popular teaching that says that between now and the return of Christ, there will be a very long period, as long, some of them say, as 30,000 years, a long period of earthly peace and earthly prosperity for the Church of Jesus Christ, a kind of golden age for the church here on earth. Doesn't look like that, of course. When you read the newspaper, doesn't look like anything of that kind is coming. But those who are post-millennialists believe that things will change, that the majority of people will be saved, that Christians will dominate our society, will dominate politics and law and the whole social life of this world, and the result will be this time of earthly blessedness for the Church of Christ before He comes again. And only many years in the future will Christ come again. Now, that passage, I'm not going to say much about that this morning, but that teaching is dangerous, first of all, because you can see that it turns our eyes away from heaven and from the return of Christ to this world, and even changes the calling that we have here, not to live in hope for the coming of Christ, watching and waiting for His return, but to work at building this earthly kingdom of Christ. And if you think that that teaching is not a danger to us here, that teaching was what nearly destroyed the congregation in Northern Ireland some 20 years ago. It's around, it's dangerous, but it's clearly not the teaching of the Word of God here in Isaiah 65. Those who believe in that future earthly time of peace and prosperity for the church use this verse to prove their point, because it speaks of a time when people are still dying, or seems to speak of that, and of a time when sinners are still around, or seems to speak of that. Now, I want to point out to you, first of all, that this verse is in the context here in the Old Testament of a passage that speaks unmistakably of heaven and of the return of Christ and of the glory that will be ours when He comes again. Verse 17. And many of these verses are quoted in the book of Revelation. Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. This is about the new heavens and the new earth, not a future earthly kingdom of Christ. You have verse 19 echoed in Revelation 21. The voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. And even the children, I'm sure, when they read this last part of Isaiah, can't help but think not of an earthly kingdom, but of that final coming heavenly and all glorious kingdom of our Savior. But that raises the question, of course, what in the world is Isaiah talking about here in verse 20? Talks about a child dying and 100 years old, and about sinners reaching that age as well, being 100 years old but still being accursed. How can that be a description of heaven? Well, the answer is, and I hope that's clear to you this morning, that the verse is describing heaven, but describing it in Old Testament language. Especially the second part of that verse, the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. First this, though, and that's the heart of the passage, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. That's referring to Jerusalem. Thence there shall not be from there, from Jerusalem, an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. But the Word of God is talking about the New Jerusalem. Not the Jerusalem that then was, but the Jerusalem that's described in Revelation 21. Same passage which quotes from Isaiah 65, and which describes that New Jerusalem in symbols and pictures that give us a glimpse of its unspeakable and unimaginable glory. A city four square with its 12 foundations and 12 gates. City which is really, you'll see that if you read Revelation 21 carefully, really the church of Jesus Christ glorified with all the glory of heaven. There shall not be from there an infant of days. That's a child who lives only a few days and then dies. Child who never has the opportunity to grow up, to be married, to experience the fullness of life here on earth, but whose life is, humanly speaking, cut short. And some of you, of course, have experienced that grief and know that there are few things here on earth that are so grievous as having to bring the lifeless body of a little child to the grave, an infant of days. There shall not be from there an infant of days. That's the comfort of the Word of God here in Isaiah 65, verse 20. And a word of comfort which speaks to all of our hearts, but especially to the hearts of those who have experienced that kind of loss. Nor from there, from that New Jerusalem, an old man that hath not filled his days. That too is talking about one of life's other great griefs. When a father, mother, a loved one is taken away by death before they have, as the passage says, filled their days. And perhaps Isaiah is thinking of Psalm 90 here, 67, perhaps 80. A man who is older than this infant, but whose life is nevertheless cut short by death. Something that many of us have experienced. A brother, a sister, a parent. It's not uncommon in the Church of Jesus Christ that a mother is left to raise her family by herself because her husband's life is cut short. And that's the kind of thing that the Word of God is talking about here. That will not be true in the New Jerusalem. Though in the old city of Jerusalem it was often the case that the body of a loved one had to be carried from there to its place of burial outside the walls of the city, that will never be true in the New Jerusalem. That's easy to understand, and a great comfort to those too who, not only to those who have lost a loved one or a child through death, but to all of us as we get older and have to wrestle with the fact that we have not many days left in this world. To all of us, the Word of God says that death in the New Jerusalem will be swallowed up, as Paul has it in 1 Corinthians 15, in victory. No more death. So the verse is saying, first of all, exactly what the Word of God says in Revelation 21. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Turning our eyes not to this world, but to that world that is to come, when all things will be made new. But that leaves the rest of the passage. What does the Word of God mean when it talks about a child dying and 100 years old? It's talking here especially in Old Testament language. Looking at things from the viewpoint of the Old Testament, when long life here on earth was sometimes, not always, sometimes a sign of God's favor and blessing. When living 175 years as Abraham did, was a small token of God's favor and blessing. But I add to that, it wasn't always and in every case that way. When someone did die young, then you couldn't say, God isn't blessing that person. But it could be a sign of God's blessing, as we saw in the law this morning. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But even in the Old Testament, God's people understood that the real blessing was eternal life in heaven. They understood that. Understood that the land that the law speaks about was not the earthly land of Canaan, but the New Jerusalem and the heavenly land of Canaan. And for that they watched and waited. But the Word of God here is speaking from that Old Testament viewpoint. And that second part of the text is saying something like this. Again, you almost have to have lived in the Old Testament to get your head around it. That second part of the passage is saying that at 100 years old, at this time of which the passage speaks, a person will still be a child. With hundreds, perhaps thousands of years ahead of him. And that's a reference to eternal life. A rather beautiful reference, because it speaks of something that we can only imagine. Imagine being 100 years old and still just a child. But that's the way God speaks here to his people in the Old Testament, to describe to them what we know from the New Testament as life everlasting, life that has no end. And then, of course, that last part of the passage, the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. That's not to say that there are going to be sinners in the New Jerusalem, but it's Scripture's way of saying what the Word of God says. Let me quote another passage, Ecclesiastes 8, verse 10. No, I have the wrong passage there and don't remember which it was. But I was thinking of a passage in Ecclesiastes that speaks of the fact that no matter how long the wicked live, they are never blessed by God, never share and the blessing that God promises here to his people. Their life on earth is not that life which God's people enjoy. Now already through the work of the Spirit of Jesus Christ and forever when Christ comes again. You can read the passage then something like this. Have it in front of you. There shall be no more in the New Jerusalem an infant who dies in infancy, or an adult who never reaches the 70 of which Scripture speaks. But there shall be for God's people in the New Jerusalem a life that is so long and so blessed that even if they were to die at 100 years old, they would still be but children. But those who are sinners will never enjoy that blessing. As Revelation 22 has it, there shall not enter therein any that maketh a lie without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That's the word of God here in Isaiah, way back before the coming of our Savior. And that reference to sinners focuses our attention on Him, because it raises the question, are we not all sinners? And the answer of Isaiah is really no. Not in the sense that I'm talking about here. The sinners of whom he speaks are those who are described in the context. A rebellious people that walked in a way that was not good and after their own thoughts. People who, when God called, didn't answer. When he spoke to them, didn't listen. Those are the sinners whom the Word of God is talking about. The blessing belongs to those whom Isaiah here in chapter 65 describes as God's servants. My servants, he says, again and again, whom he describes as mine elect. Those whom he describes in verse 16 as blessing themselves in the God of truth. They're the ones. Isaiah even says that God is going to call them by a different name. In the Old Testament, you know, they all had the same name. They were all called Israel. But he says God's going to call them by a new name to distinguish them from those sinners who will never share in the blessedness of life eternal. And if you ask, well, what's the difference between them and the others? If you had the opportunity to ask Isaiah that, you know what he would have said to you? He would have said to you, go back and read chapter 53. I just told you in chapter 53 what's the difference between these sinners and those whom God describes as his servants and as his elect. The difference is this, that their iniquities have been laid on him of whom I spoke in chapter 53. Are they different in themselves from these sinners? No, 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 never. like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. But this is the difference. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Those who share in this blessedness then are those who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. And the passage is speaking of the fact that for them, Christ has destroyed the power of death. I can't tell you, beloved, you have to be older to experience that for yourself. That it's possible to face death, to know that humanly speaking, because you're older, death is only, as it were, a handbreadth away. But to know that there is nothing to fear. And then to know, too, that there is coming that day of everlasting blessedness when all the terrors of death will be gone forever. No more thence an infant of days or an old man who hath not filled his days. Then it's possible to bring a child to the grave and weep, but not as those who have no hope. Then it's possible to face the death of a loved one, a beloved loved one, but to face it with courage and conviction in the absolute confidence that Christ's death destroyed forever the power of death for God's people. So entirely that now the nature of death itself is changed, and death is but an entrance into life everlasting. And that for his sake the day is coming when death itself will be banished forever from the kingdom of Christ, and all things truly made new. Perhaps today we need that comfort more than at any other time in the history of God's church, because we live so close to the end, and have to be able to say, whether I live or whether I die, I am the Lord's. That's the blessedness of which the Word of God speaks here in Isaiah 65, verse 20. Though, as I said, in Old Testament language, looking at it all from the perspective of one to whom long earthly life in that earthly land of Canaan was a sign of God's blessing. But remembering that God, who is forever merciful and gracious, has so much more than that for his people, who with Abraham look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But in taking that comfort to heart, as I trust you'll do this morning, I want to remind you too that at the heart of this comfort, well, let me put it a little differently, that this comfort is not by way of saying, I'm going to see my child again in heaven. I'm going to see the husband that I lost when my children were still small, going to see him again in heaven. Going to see my father, who died when I was still a teenager, and whose love I hardly remember. That's not the comfort of the passage. The comfort is death is swallowed up in victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But that's only one side of it. The other side is this: not I shall see him or her or them again, but I shall see, when all of this comes to pass, the great God of whom Isaiah speaks, and he will be my joy, my peace, my blessedness forever and ever. Isaiah hints at that in verse 16, when he says, "He who blesseth himself shall bless himself in the God of truth." The glory of heaven is not, first of all, the fact that when death is swallowed up in victory, we will see once again those whom we love or love in this life. But the glory of heaven is the blessedness of seeing him who makes all things new, the one who brings all these things to pass, the one who's established for us a home in that city that has foundations, the New Jerusalem, and who dwells there with his people forever and ever. No more from thence an infant of days or an old man who hath not filled his days. Thank God for that. No more death. But don't forget, as Revelation has it, they shall see his face, and his name shall be in them forever.